Hey, AfterBuzzers, we're talking How to Get Away with Murder, Season 4, Episode 12.
Ask him about Stella.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? I hope y'all like our little intro for today.
Wasn't it the cutest? Oh my god, we're so corny.
We planned that a few times before we started. Hey everybody, I'm April Wissenhant. We're talking How to Get Away with Murder tonight. You can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant with my beautiful, lovely co-host.
Hey guys, Elena here. You can follow me on all social platforms at @hey_itslay.
It is ladies' night in
we feel alright
tonight.
That's a song. It's ladies' night and nana feel alright. Nana, 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 oh what a night.
We're basically Barry Manilow. JB and Nadine are out today, so we're so happy y'all are watching with us. What'd you think about the episode?
Listen, we're really going to need you to use your fingers tonight because you're going to be co-host number 2 and 3, 4. Three and four.
That's not our strong suit.
So we want to know what you guys felt about this episode because April and I like watching it with you.
Same. Well, we have so much fun.
Yeah. Obviously. Before we got here, we were like, oh my gosh, they're going to hate us. But in the really? I don't think so.
No.
This was a good episode.
Y'all are going to love us, right?
Ask them about Stella.
You know what? Okay, so it's funny that that's the title because that's not even what it should be to me. To me, it should be something about baby Christopher.
Or the class action.
Yeah. There's so much happening in tonight's episode and, like, a lot of places to start. I want to start, though, probably with... let's start with Isaac and what's going on with him. That's kind of, like... the meatiest part of the episode, I guess. We start off and he is having a freak out in the car. We see that he gets...
I like that they took us back to what happened to Dr. Roja before we saw him in the chair high off KPEC.
So I thought, like, I even wrote in my notes, suicide, because whenever, I guess I wasn't even thinking out of the box. I was just thinking like, oh, he's going to relapse on heroin. That's what he relapsed on. So when he's like, crushing things into the thing. I don't know. I guess I didn't know, obviously. So I thought maybe he was trying to commit suicide at that moment.
We were the most uneducated drug people.
I guess that's a good thing, but...
I mean, it's a great thing, but we were, like, true not smart because he started smashing the pills and April was like, wait, that's not heroin. Is that heroin? Like, what?
Is that how you do heroin?
She was like, is that how you do it? And I was like, I don't know what heroin is. She was like, I thought it was. And I was like, I don't know.
That's good.
But I watch a lot of crime shows, so I feel like I should have basic knowledge.
Yeah, true.
It wasn't heroin.
Something I've never heard of before. KPEC.
KPEC. I heard of opioids.
Yeah.
I think I said that right.
You did. You said it perfectly.
Y'all heard of those drugs before?
Yeah. So that's what he did. Obviously, a relapse. He ends up telling Annalise that's the first time that he's relapsed in 20-some-odd years or something like that. Obviously we learned that that is very much so not true, but what's scary about it, and it kind of should have told us this from the beginning, is when Annalise shows up at his house the next day and he's, you know, seemingly okay. He's, you know, arriving from wherever he was. He says, oh, I was at my girlfriend's house. And then just a couple of minutes later, he's like, I was lying. I was high. And she... just the look on her face. I know you hated it, but she looks like she really felt bad for him. And of course, why would she not feel bad for him?
It seemed like she was genuinely disgusted at the fact that he would go back. Like, she felt awful, but her expression, reading it as, like, an audience from an actress, I was just like, she couldn't find another facial expression to express that disgust.
Because she literally was just like...
Yeah, it was...
It was almost like no emotion. She had like a slight little smirk, but I think she felt bad for him because obviously she's relapsed before.
Right.
And she, of course, feels partly responsible. The whole reason why this is happening is because he became a part of the lawsuit for Laurel to help her and to help Annalise.
So, okay, though he did that, do you agree that there is some truth with Jorge's case against Dr. Isaac? Or do you guys at home think that he did play, like, his his part in Stella's death mm-hmm. was death by delivery.
So I also had to Google that, and I'm not going to lie, a lot of stuff came up about women giving birth, so I just stopped searching it.
I mean, I don't... So, okay, at first I felt like, you know, he really didn't have a part and et cetera, et cetera. But now I'm a little torn. Mm-hmm. It was the whole text message that threw me off. Like, the whole text message that was wrong. And I understand him thinking like an addict and not wanting his wife to, you know, blame him for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Do you guys feel like he truly caused his daughter to die? Do you think that it was an accidental suicide? Do you think that she was just getting high and she didn't know what the drugs were or how to use them?
Yeah.
And OD'd?
I think it's one of those things that we'll definitely never know. Right. I mean, it's so weird that he made up this whole thing, even to Annalise. I get not wanting to tell the truth because you think people are going to be this way to you and whatever. But it's also, like, at this point, you know, when it comes to, like, certain lawsuit things, you just got to tell the truth. And I'm sure it's, like, why hide it? And he hid it because he was so mortified at the thought of people thinking that his daughter's death was because of him. I don't think we'll ever know if it was a suicide or what. She had just dropped out of college. Obviously, he just beats himself up over and over again because he said all she saw her whole life was about how his whole life was about overcoming addiction
mm-hmm.
and about how that messed him up for so long.
Yeah.
But turns out he was high the whole time. And he even said, he's like, she had to have known something was
up. The fact that he lied about being sober for 23 years. So there's some interesting stuff happened.
Okay.
One person's reminding me that I too thought Dr. Roja was shady. Remember, I didn't like him when he was first introduced. And I was like, I don't know why. And they're basically saying it's about time you figured out why he was so shady.
Mm-hmm.
They really believe that Stella accidentally overdosed.
Yeah.
Like, she just found his stash, but that it's still his fault for having the drugs in the house and for being this addict. I mean, but you have a grown adult child.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's definitely one of those situations that kind of, it's borderline both ways. She did take them, but people do crazy things when they're depressed, when they're going through something. And of course, dropping out of college, doing something like that, having a father that, you know, is essentially pretending to be sober, but you know he's not.
Right.
Who knows what was going through her mind? But what ultimately kind of matters is that it was there for her in the first place. But, it opens up all these other topics of, like, whether you should have alcohol in the house or this, but then it comes down to really educating your kids. Either way, it's both. She took them. It's kind of weird. I don't know where the DA had come up with, like, him. What was he molesting her or something like that?
I don't recall that. Are you making that up?
No, they said that in, you remember in the preview or whenever he was remembering back, they were like something about molestation of some sort.
I don't recall. Guys, just FYI, you can't trust April.
You can.
April makes stuff up.
Okay, this is so not on topic. We're about to ask this. Is Laurel's mom's first name Sandrine? Did they say that tonight? I could swear I heard it twice.
Her name's not Sandrine.
Okay, well, they'll tell us.
I must have missed it.
They'll tell us.
Okay, anyway, this is why you can't trust her, because she makes stuff up.
No, they'll tell us. They know better than we do.
Are we taking an intermission? Do you guys know if Laurel's mom's name is Sandrine? What is it?
Sandrine.
You got that from Friends. You admit it.
I said it. He was good. Yes, it is. Y'all, I'm never right.
No.
Sorry, I'm so happy.
No. They didn't say it.
Sandrine.
See, it's an accent. It's not Sandrine. You said it wrong. That's probably why I didn't hear it.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Anyway, back on topic. Dr. Isaac.
So, I thought that they mentioned something like that about last episode. But either way, I get, of course, he didn't want his wife to know, oh, it was because of him, whatever. But it's also like, that's your wife. And ultimately, your daughter killed herself. Like, they ended up divorced anyway. I understand. But then it's like, you just opened up a whole other can of worms of you hiding stuff. Like, even the fact that he went so far to send the text saying, I can't do this, I'm sorry, and then put it in her hand upside down, as you duly noted, which is a good point, because it seems like
somebody should have caught that he put the phone in her. I mean, granted, she was on the ground. Even if she fell, the phone wouldn't be upside down. Oh,
yeah.
Jeffrey found it on IMDb, and you couldn't find it.
Yeah, I couldn't find it on IMDb, so thank you, Jeffrey Lynn.
So, okay. Dr. Isaac, Shady Boots, the fact that he can go on and off, like, I mean, I get it. Addicts have, you know, these issues, and, yeah. and I understand. But what was most confusing, I wasn't surprised by his behavior. I was like, okay, he's letting the real Isaac show. Well, the real Isaac, please stand up. Please stand up. They get to see how corny we are. Exactly. But I thought that it was so interesting how Annalise was reacting toward him the entire episode. It was like once he told her that he relapsed when they were going to the meetings and having breakfast, like when they were eating their breakfast, the whole time he was talking about Jacqueline and his past and how he got started on heroin. She was, I felt like she was looking at him and I don't know, in this kind of
lovingly?
Way. Like, no, I don't think it was lovingly at all.
What do you think?
I thought that she felt like he was, I think she felt his shadiness finally.
Yeah.
She was looking at him like, I don't really know what to believe. I don't know who you are. I don't know which face you're wearing.
Yeah.
Which showed kind of when she realized he was high, when he tried to kiss her and I cringed. I literally like, I was pushing him away as if I were Annalise. Yeah,
that was awful.
I'm not happy that he relapsed, but I'm so happy that he was high.
Yeah.
And they didn't have that whole...
A moment.
Makeout session. Ugh.
I don't think she recognized it at first, like, when they were having the pancakes and stuff, and he's, like, sending her this text. It's not as good without you. I cringed when that happened.
And because, she smiled.
Yeah. I thought she was feeling at that point, like, oh, okay, I'm helping this man. He relapsed. I've been through this. He needs help right now, so let me be that supportive person that he really needs.
Right.
And then I don't think she felt any differently. I don't think she felt like disgusted by him until she realized that he was high. And then obviously all hell broke loose. And then he blamed it all on her and said, I wouldn't have been this way. But clearly, I think he's been this way for a long time. He said he hadn't done it in so long, but whatever. What?
I can't type, by the way, guys. My keyboard shut down, but Niles is in the chat room starting trouble.
Oh, see, I read it. And you were already going to get me off on the tangent. Would I eat pancakes with Nate? I think we all know the answer to that. I would not eat pancakes with Dr. Isaac, though. But an important thing about this whole situation is that the reason why this is even happening, or so Bonnie is officially back on Team Annalise, and she is trying to get Dr. Isaac off essentially by flirting with the ADA to get his papers.
We thought it worked.
Yeah,
they fooled us. You know what? That kind of pissed me off. Now that we're going over the episode, I'm a little pissed that Roja is as shady as he is, and Bonnie done jeopardized her career over this guy.
Well, she feels like she did him so wrong, which she did. Obviously, she lied to him.
What was her fake name?
Something weird. Probably Sandrine. I don't know.
She was a lie.
But she did him so wrong. And that's why whenever we see her, obviously at the end of the episode, going nuts that the ADA just like found her out, essentially. She's hyperventilating, going crazy. And then she uses the one piece of leverage that she has. And she just shows all of her cards to Denver and says, either drop this or whatever. I don't know. I think it's because of the guilt that she felt. But it's like such a waste. Oh my God, you just wasted this huge thing on this man that's like still doing drugs and still going. And I mean, he needs help. Like, it's not, he's not a lost cause. No one's a lost cause. But
guilt because of their relationship. I think it was more, I told Annalise I would help get him off because she wanted to back away. Once Annalise told her his involvement with his daughter, Bonnie was like, I can't go anywhere near it. And technically, Annalise pushed her to do whatever with the ADA and, you know, go light on the brief, which is ultimately what got them caught. And
I think you're so right. Yeah.
That her hyperventilating and et cetera wasn't toward Roja. It was like, okay, at this point, he is guilty. Mm-hmm. Leave him alone. She was ready to throw him to the dogs, bag of bones. But you know, her and Annalise are just getting back together.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, I need to, you know.
First get-go, you're going to disappoint her. Yeah, that makes total sense. But they really did have me fooled the whole time. And whenever she, I just wonder what she wrote in that report. Like, whenever the guy's like, why would I ever believe anything that you wrote in your report? Of course, this just proves to me. And it just sucks because I think he was being honest in saying, like, I would have let this sit on my desk for forever. This, like, no-name case that was solved however many years ago,
I agree.
And then just the look on her face, I was like, deny it. Like, be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because the evidence was there, like, that supported what she was saying. But it was so clear once he said it that she was trying to get him off. And that, and I mean, now what? She, I guess she loses her job? Did she essentially quit? What happens now?
Our fans are the funniest people ever.
They just take things and run with it.
Oh, this is good. E.B. Morris, you could tell. Oh, it went away.
What was it?
Something about doing drugs every day, but those black eyes. Oh,
the sockets. No, first of all, they ran with Nate Cakes. That was a hashtag. And someone said, why have Nate Cakes when you can have croissants with Asher? He was quite the baker tonight.
He was brownies, croissants.
I don't know what was wrong with him. And now they're trying to kill Bonnie. What's wrong with you?
So she approaches Denver and gives him the recording, says you can either drop this case. I thought that was a really
boss move.
It was. But she's like, you can either drop this case, let it go, or you can lose your campaign from jail.
Yeah.
And obviously, of course, like, who is Isaac Roja to him? He doesn't care. I'm sure he was probably like, okay, fine, whatever. But now, I mean, there's no way Bonnie can still work there, because even if she, you know, destroys the evidence, which mm-hmm. she would never do, he knows that she has it. They officially know now. And, I mean, Annalise even tells the kids earlier, she's like, nah, she can't pay them. So it's not like she's going to get another job with Annalise. So TBD, what's going to happen to Bonnie? But at the end, when she's on the phone, you know, has the gun in her thing, whatever, I literally said to Elena, I was like, oh, she's about to die. And then Frank sitting there on the sidewalk, and I was like, or he's about to die. It just felt like the music made it feel very murderous to me.
Yes. Somebody's gonna die.
Exactly. But then it wasn't. But she's asking him to move back in, which, because she's afraid of Denver and Jorge and what they're gonna do to her. Because, I mean, she almost did kind of write her own death sentence. Now they know been tracking
what
him.
What other option did she have, though? Because I was kind of losing my ish with her.
Oh, same.
When the ADA caught on to her, like, I for sure know you're working with Keating. And I went to Denver. And you know what makes it easy? Denver's running for governor or whatever. It's so easy to ruin him.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's so easy to ruin him.
He does the dumbest thing.
Yeah, like, she probably could have played that, but right. When she was losing her mind, I felt bad for her, because in this moment, this was really not something we can blame on her.
Yeah.
Like, she was just trying to help. Literally.
No, it's not something, it's definitely not something. She did the best thing that she could do, but I literally feel like she just wrote her own death sentence by doing it.
I can't remember the actual Bonnie's name, the actress, her real name, even though we just saw her with long hair, whatever. I think she did really great tonight, because she convinced me to be her friend.
She did. She did that because she did the right thing. She did the best thing for them.
She did do the best thing, and it wasn't shade. Wow. Look at us. I just want everybody to know that we're growing.
We are growing.
We're giving compliments when they're due.
Right when I think Bonnie's like
about to die. Well, that also could mean, that could be why she's about to die, so they want us to love her.
Yeah. Well, another one. Well, something creepy. This is like semi-prediction, but I don't mean it that way. Like, so many things, more that we'll get into, got, like, tied up tonight. Like, this, they lost. Obviously, they're going to keep going with the class action suit. They lost the class action suit. Laurel meets the baby. Mom is confronted.
Can we get into the meeting of Christopher and Laurel?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that was so sweet.
I was just smiling. I don't smile that often. I mean, I do, but like,
you have such a gorgeous smile.
I was just like smiling at the screen, because I felt for Laurel in that moment to finally be able to meet your baby. It was just a really joyous moment, and it was taken away. So like, as soon as she had to like say bye to Christopher, baby Christopher, everything else just went downhill. Remember, they were playing this music, and I was like, why are they playing that music? Yeah. And you were like, someone's going to die.
It was like, essentially like Michael Myers. Like, that's what it reminded me of. Like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, and that kind of pissed me off. They gave us this little bit of joy and then vanished. So at the end, when the gang, a few of the gang were like being all excited about wedding, which I know we'll get into, I was like bouncing around excited too, because that little bit of joy that I had with baby Christopher was taken away, and I needed to be happy about something.
But after they give us joy, they always give us, like, the worst sorrow that could ever happen.
How do you feel about Sandrine?
Oh, Sandrine.
No, because, okay.
I just don't know what she could possibly
Let's
be
go from the beginning. The Let's go from the beginning.
Okay.
Frank wants to go to the hospital with Laurel.
Yep.
The mom has been calling the dad.
Every day.
Every day, which we don't know if they're in cahoots or not. Mm-hmm. I love that word, cahoots. And then, so Frank wants to go for protection, which I thought was very admirable. Yeah. He looks delicious. He looked very delicious.
Frank
this
was
episode.
Like here. Nate was here tonight.
Tonight. Yeah. Frank was a little higher than Nate.
Because he was being such like a knight in shining armor. The whole point of him on tonight's episode was him trying to find out why was Laurel's mom meeting with Wes.
Right.
And why was she calling Jorge every single day? And he's willing to risk. I mean, he killed Dominic like. What, a few days ago, a couple of weeks ago, and he knows that they gotta be tracking him at some point, especially when Miss Sandrine at the hospital says, oh, I called your dad every day this week to talk him into letting you see the baby.
Which
and I'm
made
like,
me
you just
think,
said that on purpose.
Yeah, which made me think that she's on to Frank. And I thought, so my thing is, if Frank wasn't there, like the dad didn't show up, that was surprising to me.
Same.
Because you would think that if they are working together, then he should be there. But maybe him not being there is kind of to convince Laurel that they aren't working together.
And that her mom's on her side.
And that her mom's on her side to give them that, like, I did this for you. I called your dad every day so you can see him by yourself because I love you so much, which builds Laurel's trust. So Frank's going to be the bad guy when he tells her your mom met with Wes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all of this crap has happened. Mm. And I don't know how to feel like, I don't know. Do we know for sure?
Well, I mean, we don't, but I just can't think. I mean, maybe she was telling the truth. Maybe she was calling him every day trying to convince him to let Laurel see the baby. We really don't know, but I don't think that's the case. I definitely think there's something going on behind the scenes and not in a good way, but I just can't even think of what it possibly could be. Like, would love to hear what y'all think it could be because I don't know. Are you reading this? I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
if you're reading
somebody
the same
says
one that I am.
Frank was onto her. Here's the thing: Jessica wants Frank and Huck to get together on a crossover so they can get stuff done. April, like many of you in the chat room, I saw you guys chatting before we went live. Don't watch Scandal. I get it. You're not a Scandal fan. The show fell off. April doesn't watch it either. So when I was trying to talk to her about the crossover, I was like, "You're not following. You're not paying attention. I need you to pay attention."
She's like, "This guy is here, so that means they're working." And
I was like, "Wait a minute," because if you follow Scandal, then you know the gang's kind of broken up on that show right now. So to see them in the previews, it was just
so
weird.
So something has to be going on.
Something has to be going on. Don't know if you watch it. I would love to see Frank and Huck get together. I thought when Frank addressed Sandrine at the end of the episode and was like, you know what? I tried to figure it out. I can't figure it out. So I'm just going to ask you to your face. He wasn't like shy about it.
Yeah.
He didn't try to talk slow because she tries to act like she doesn't understand English. He was just like, so what's up?
I'm so happy that he did that. Like, thank God, finally someone's just confronting someone instead of being like, okay, let me hack all of these things and kill this person and do whatever. Like, just ask.
Just go. Just put your cards on the table.
Know him?
But that's also very dangerous because if she, in fact, is working with Jorge, I mean, granted, she's already kind of on to him, but now it's like, okay, they have this photo. I don't know if she knew that they had the photo. Like, you knew that I had interaction with Wes.
But I think they definitely already knew, like, that they think something is up. I think you're right. I don't think they knew about the picture because, I mean, well, we have no idea when that even happened or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I what was
no, that? No, continue.
Okay. But, Sardine. But, I don't know. I can't figure that situation out.
I think it was a bold move. It's definitely, wait, okay. Is it really true that our next episode isn't until March 1st? Because that's going to piss me off a little bit.
That's not until March 1st.
We got a whole, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah. So, does Scandal, let us know in the comments, does Scandal also have
That's what I was trying to figure out. So, I was staring at the viewing station that was watching Scandal because I wanted to see what was happening.
Yeah.
But I also want to know, are they going to progress to get to where we are on How to Get Away with Murder? Like, are we even in the same year?
Yeah.
Scandal and How to, like, it's just a little. We need more information than Olivia coming to give a lecture. Like, I need to know what's happening in Miss Pope life.
Oh, she looked good, though.
She did look real
good. She looked so good.
It's going
to
be good.
Okay, so we have to talk about why she's ultimately coming.
Okay, let's get into it.
So, oh, it's just like there's no point, but because she just loses, and I'm so sad about it.
Because Nate Sr. was really making strides and mm-hmm. progress, and it was very heartbreaking to see him. The way that he deals with pain, mm-hmm. the way that he deals with hurt or sadness or being uncomfortable was heartbreaking for me. Because yeah. as soon as he got sad or disappointed about them not being able to go to trial, he lashed out at Nate.
Yeah, it was anger.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to deal with it, obviously.
And that's heartbreaking. So when him and Nate had the conversation and Nate was really like, look, you can't scare me away. I'm not going to go anywhere. Like...
Mm. And just like that, Nate's back on top. As soon as she said it, I was like, well, I changed my mind.
No, when he was saying it, I legit was not imagining a father-son conversation. It was yeah. like that's my man telling me you can't scare me away mm-hmm. with your attitude or whatever. It was attractive.
Yeah.
But it was what Nate Sr. needed to hear. Mm-hmm. And even them preparing the brief or whatever they were doing for to go to trial.
It was when they were preparing for him to go on the stand and yeah. he was telling his story.
That was hard.
That was actually probably one of my favorite moments of the show, minus Laurel saying his name is Christopher because Wes was Christoph, whatever. But and it's funny because I wrote down two of Nate Sr.'s lines, but when he's telling the story, you know, he was first, I guess, put in jail when he was only 26 for stealing for his family. And it brought me, I met this woman briefly who had been put in jail for stealing stuff from Target. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it proves, like, obviously people think, oh, you did this. There are so many other options, but it makes sense. Like, you see your kids going hungry. They don't have any clothes. Who's to say, like, none of us would do it? I mean, I'm sure right. I would rather than but see
he,
that happen.
That's what he said, though. He literally exactly. said, anyone in this situation is going to provide for their kid or is exactly. going to try.
And it's just, so he got, you know, he was put into the shoe, whatever. Then he starts telling, they called him the box, or was it the boxer?
I couldn't tell.
I thought it was the box.
I thought he was saying the box, like the box, that's a vagina.
Yeah, that's what I was like, but he does not have a vagina.
I know, but you know what? I'm not doing this with you. You're okay. not about to.
Okay. I thought he had, I thought they were just calling him the box, but I don't know why. Maybe he used to be a boxer. Let us know if y'all know, because we do not know.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was the boxer. I don't know if it was related to, like, he was always the fresh meat.
I think it was because they, you know, he at one point said it was kill or be killed. Like, everyone was like, I want a piece of the box, I think. Because I guess he just got known for fighting. Like, that's why he was always constantly in the shoe, because he was always in fights. And so people wanted to go after him because they're like, I'm the toughest, I can beat him up, essentially, is what happened.
Everyone's saying he said boxer.
Okay, boxer. All right, so boxer. Maybe he used to be a boxer. I don't know.
We thought it was box.
I did. I was like, what do you mean the box? But when he's... when he's telling the story of him, oh gosh, we're gonna have to delete that part from the taping.
Cut.
Yeah. So whenever he's telling the story of him killing the officer, right?
No, it was another cellmate.
Okay, another cellmate. He said that the guy punched, or was like, so I want to see what the boxer is about, mm-hmm. and the guy punched him first, and then the next thing he remembers is, like,
being on top of him
and punching him over and over. And this is one of the things I wrote down. He said, I felt his skull crack under my fist.
I remember that line.
And it took 5 guards to get him off. And that's why I'm like, why aren't they talking more at this point? I guess there's no point in saying it in front of him, but about the, like, mental illness stuff.
Well, they did. They went right into it after that, because yeah. they were like, okay, prior to that incident, how long had you been in solitary confinement? Yeah. And he said, I don't know, maybe a month. Mm-hmm. And Annalise was like, no, it was a year.
Yeah.
And my mouth dropped. Yeah. I remember I was just staring at the screen like, what?
Because that is enough to make the most sane person go insane.
You were in solitary confinement for 365 days.
Yeah.
And then they decided to let you out a bunch of a whole, like, and like, they didn't even ease you into it. Mm-hmm. They let you out. People started to harass you, because you know that people are bullies and they want to try to when people, like, when others over.
And of course they knew. You know if someone's been in solitary confinement for a year. Like, that's how that comes
to I am going to go crazy.
Yeah.
I might still be a little sane, but I'm not going to be all the way together.
Yeah.
And then I get out and I have a fight with this man and I feel his skull crack. Mm-hmm. And you put me back into solitary confinement. Like, that was a lot for me. I wasn't happy about that.
Well, just the remorse, it's like you can just tell. He's like, I didn't want any of this to happen. I never wanted to fight these people, which, okay, is an easy thing to say. But just like he said, it was kill or be killed. And, I mean, he obviously won, and that's how he got the reputation that he did. But because another important thing that they brought up, it was just kind of the reason why he even, like, got back in there in the first place so many times. Mm-hmm. It was because of the very simple parole violations where he's like, I couldn't get a job, but yet I couldn't do this, or I couldn't even be near alcohol, which, okay, that one makes sense. I couldn't get a traffic violation. I couldn't, you know, all of these things. And that was the thing. It's like, one parole violation in the slightest bit can get you a longer sentence than what you originally even went in for, which is how he ended up there for so long. And if he would have had a better representation, that probably wouldn't have happened.
But, and we did touch on that before, and it's going to be really interesting to see the crossover, only because I feel like we're rooting for the class action.
Yeah.
We want Annalise to do good.
Yeah.
And there was one thing that we actually didn't talk about with Annalise, which the class action is reminding me of. But yeah, before we get there, Price, I'm definitely glad that your dad is fine now. He says his dad was in solitary for 125 days for beating somebody down. That's crazy.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm happy that
he's better. Yeah.
But see, this is where the show comes into real life, and it really teaches you things, and you see these real issues being brought up and talked about, and that's the only way to, like, actually really solve them.
I really liked Michaela's character, kind mm-hmm. of, tonight. Mm-hmm. I like that the gang were... I like that they were fighting over the class action.
Yeah. Okay, finally, Annalise, they're, like, doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah.
Who's better? Who wrote the... I sent you this amendment. Like, I thought that competition was healthy.
Yeah.
I love that it inspired Connor to want to go back to law school. Mm-hmm. Does anyone else think that Michaela's real character might be pregnant? I've been saying that for the last 3 episodes. She just looks pregnant. Now, it'd be really bad if she's not pregnant.
Oh, I know.
And I'm calling her looking pregnant.
It's not that she's not bigger. She just looks something about.
Yeah, it was her stomach. It was like some of her features look like she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I know it for another time. But let me know if you might know if she's pregnant.
Because she's dating Alfred Enoch in real life.
They're still dating?
She just posted a pic.
Baby Christopher? Oh my gosh, what if they are pregnant and they name their child Christopher? That would be hilarious.
I would die.
Okay, anyway. So back to the important stuff. What I loved.
we're
on a roll.
With the breaking news.
Another important aspect for me was when Annalise and Isaac were arguing with each other, mm-hmm. and he was putting the blame on her and she fired back. Mm-hmm. This was the first time that she plays victim a lot, but this was the first time that she was like, you will not put the blame on me, and you taught me that. And I think that Michaela's adopted that even when they wanted to quit and give up on the class action. And she was like, no, this is what we can do. The fact that Michaela's the one who introduced Olivia Pope, the whole idea.
That's just, yeah.
Hashtag
it's fire.
Black girl magic.
She annoyed me slightly tonight because she does interject herself when something is big. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, if you have the brains and the power that she does, why would you insert yourself into something that was, you know, less than? But, and she's been working with Tegan for so long, so she's kind of just now able to be a part of it. But the state Supreme Court steals it from them, so they don't even get to have a trial, moral of the whole story. And then they just say that they have to write a briefing.
Right.
And of course, I mean, Annalise is so right. She's like, this is just an easy way for them to say no to me. And actually, for a second, I thought, because they made a good point, they took her to, like, where the state Supreme... I forgot where it was. Where the state Supreme Court was. And Nate's like, they wouldn't call you there unless, you know, it's a good reason.
Right.
So I actually thought that it was going to be... I thought we were going to have two things happen. Like, one really good thing, which was going to be that. Mm-hmm. Her winning the class action. Or at least, like, getting a trial for it. And then somebody was going to die. But No, it was just bad all around.
None of it.
Oh, no, not bad that they didn't die. But she and Nate kind of had another moment. I don't know. We'll see if they're even going to go there. I kind of hope not.
I like where their relationship is right now without the romance, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't want her hooking up with anyone else, but I like where her and Nate are right now.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Let's get into some predictions, only because I just feel like I have a lot that.
Yeah. And I was going to say, speaking of them being togetherness, Connor and Oliver are back on with the wedding.
Well, okay, let's not get into predictions. Doesn't that not make you upset?
You know how I feel about that.
Because he had his moment, especially when he was talking with Asher at the hospital, when Oliver was going through his whole Simon thing. We didn't hear anything about Simon today. Is he dead? Is he alive? Is he making progress? We don't know. Yeah. Oliver didn't mention Simon. Oliver was quiet today.
But we kind of barely saw them. It was more about, it was like about the stuff that I really wanted to know about.
Yeah, same. I thought it was great. Oliver was quiet, so I kind of like him again because he's not being annoying.
Yeah.
This was good. This is what we needed.
It was good for them. And I'm just happy that Connor's back in school or is not going yet to be back in school. And it's just like, you know, they're making strides. Dare I say they're growing up?
But then, okay, no. Because then he's talking about taking summer classes and planning a wedding. But he had the realization that he's too good for Oliver. So why are you going to marry him?
I guess he changed his mind.
Yeah, but it's too back and forth for me.
It always is, but that's how it goes. Okay, you want to predict?
Do you want to predict?
I want to predict. Okay. I'm trying to think about what I got.
We're going
to
predict, guys. We're going to predict.
Predict. No, I don't want to say it that way.
Oliver and Colliver need some spice.
Yeah. Colliver is corny.
Colliver. That sounds like cauliflower.
Can you predict how Sardine knows Wes? First of all, I am fully on board with all y'all calling Sandrine Sardine. That is my favorite.
I'm really upset that you really knew that her name was Sandrine. That bothers me.
Y'all should have seen her. She was like, what? And I'm never right about that stuff, so I'm so happy. I'm just kidding. Okay, so I want to say some of these. Everyone, Oliver or Connor, die.
Is that your prediction?
Sylvia Wood says that. Connor doesn't know what he wants. Fina Juliana. I don't think that. Actually, I really don't, know what even is going to happen next. Tonight was an episode of Pretty Bow, like, moving along with certain subjects. Obviously, we know that Olivia Pope is going to be there to help Annalise with the class action.
That's
a prediction. I think that's going to come back, and she's going to win. But, ooh, I could see,
gonna
like...
Who's going to win? Olivia's going to win?
Well, no,
Annalise?
No, of course, she can't be on there for long enough to, win this whole class action. So I think she's going to help light it back up, and then Annalise is going to win it. But I have a feeling that something really, really sad is going to happen in the meantime.
Yeah, and that's what makes it scary. I really loved, FYI, when they introduced Olivia, that she was writing on the chalkboard how to get away with a scandal.
Yeah.
Ooh, scandalous.
Just like, what's the face?
Annalise. Just like Annalise. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
So we know that they're going to clash, my opinion.
Yeah.
Annalise and Olivia. And we kind of saw a snippet of that, so I'm not cheating. I think I already predicted this. Mm-hmm. They're really strong, and they're very at the top of what they do. So to have them both on a TV show is epic.
I know.
To see them go at work is going to be epic, but they're going to clash in a big way. And I'm scared to predict that they might clash in a way that would hurt the class action.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that Olivia has a political background. And Bonnie just tried to blackmail Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So with her being in town, I feel like she's going to be a hot commodity and everyone's going to want to dig at her, help me do this, help me do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it could possibly switch on Annalise. Like Annalise go to her for help, but then the governor, the person who's running for governor who's trying to get out of being blackmailed might,
Yeah.
It just might be a lot.
There's a lot of people that would want her attention for sure.
And I think it would be really cool to play into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it would be really cool to not necessarily deliver us the icing on the cake,
yeah,
but to make us work for.
When do they not make us work?
Yeah,
for
they
it?
Always do. That's why I think it's going to be that great.
Yeah. Someone asked earlier, can we predict how Laurel's mom knows Wes?
What do you think?
Oh gosh, why would he have contacted her? I mean, could it go back to the Mahoneys? Maybe.
I thought that it had to do with the Mahoneys.
Could it have just been him like, maybe he was about to propose. I don't know. Could it have been something like that? Could it have been him trying to reconnect them? It just doesn't make any sort of sense. So I'm going to say it's one of those things. One of those three things that I just said.
I'm going to say, I don't know. I can't even tell you because that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense because we still don't know who he called. We don't know if he actually called Dominic.
Right. Or if it was just like cloning his phone.
And it might have been his mom or her mom. But then the reason I don't know is because all of my predictions about that situation makes me question Wes.
Same, because it just makes him, like, what were you up to?
It make him, we already know the mom is shady. We know the dad is shady. Like, we know everyone is shady, but it makes me question Wes and Wes' motives and what he's been involved with and how much he really did know and what, you know what I mean? And I don't have the mental capacity to go down that route.
Well, I think the reason why the thing that I keep forgetting is that he did call himself Kristoff. So whether he... I think the cloning the phone thing is like too far-fetched because that just takes away this whole big topic we've been talking about for so long and makes it a moot point. Like, then it just doesn't matter. So I don't, because literally if someone just cloned his phone and he was calling someone from his past, whatever, it doesn't matter. I think it has to matter for some reason.
I see a couple people saying that Mahoney's. And Sandrine are trying to get the Mahoney money. Where were you guys last week when I brought up the whole Mahoney's and then the whole cast was like, it's too late for the Mahoney's to come back. And I was like, hello, guys.
I still kind of think that. I think it's a little random, but it makes more sense than someone, or it has more of a story than his phone just being cloned and he didn't actually call Dominic. He called someone else and whatever.
Fina says, in case of emergency, it's Sandrine. She handles business, but isn't she sick? I mean, not sick, but doesn't she, like...
She's bipolar.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. This confuses me. Let me get something solid. My prediction for next week is...
3 weeks.
Laurel's going to get her baby.
Laurel's going to get her baby.
Her mama's going to play her and let her think that she's got the baby, and she's going to be living with the baby all good and dandy, and they're going to steal the baby.
I want to say, how did they find a baby that looked... Just like Wes. It looks like
him. It looked like Alfred Enoch.
Yeah.
I literally looked at April. I said, that baby looks like Wes. And this was so funny because when I told it to her, I laughed at myself because this is a cast show. It's fake. Like, all of it is fictional. So the fact that I was like, oh my God, it looks like Wes. I was like, who are you right
but
now?
But it really did.
It really did.
It really did.
And then April found out that babies get their color after a while.
Yes, y'all remember us talking about that.
She was like, you were like, oh, he got his color.
I was like, he finally got his color. Because I thought the baby was white at first. Note to self. Okay, I learned.
All right, I don't have anything else, I guess.
We got some good ones.
I bet Oliver's going to send Simon
a wedding invite. LMAO.
That
y'all
would be
are too
tragic.
Savage tonight. And it is making me so funny. I love this.
Well, can that be a prediction, though? Do we think Simon's going to make a recovery? I don't think we've ever said.
We haven't. I think Simon's going to make a recovery.
You think so?
Yep. I just think he's not going to die. Maybe he'll be. But I don't think Simon's going to die. I'll leave it at that.
I think he's going to make a recovery. He's going to make a recovery when we least expect it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to blow everything up.
Because something has to blow everything up.
But poor Asher, he done became a baker and now he going to go to jail.
Can you bake for me, Asher?
No.
I know, he's going to go to jail. I guess he can use those tools in there.
Dang it, guys. Okay, well.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, give us more of your predictions.
Yeah.
I know. So I'm more interactive on Instagram than I am on Twitter, by the way.
Same.
Like, I respond quicker via Instagram.
Hit us up.
We have a whole 3 weeks. Let us know your Valentine's plans, if you're going to be baking like Asher or not.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see you on a crossover. We also talked about what we possibly want to do for the crossover. So if you have any ideas, we're thinking about mixing the Scandal Pandal and the How to Get Away with Murder Pandal, but you guys don't watch Scandal, so that might be a little weird. So let us know if you hate the idea.
That's a good thing. Let us know what y'all want to do.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay, perfect. Where can they find y'all in the meantime? And I said y'all, but you.
They can find me, at @hey_itslay on all social platforms.
And y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant. Definitely comment, tweet, Instagram, like us. We want to know exactly what y'all think, and we will see y'all on March 1st.
Now, I promise I will reply on Twitter. He says we never reply on Twitter.
I reply?
Most times.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.